Americans made 9.9 billion trips on public transit last year, according to new figures from the American Public Transportation Association. It sounds like a lot, but it's a 2% decrease in ridership compared to the year before. So what does this mean for transit systems? Here now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan is here. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Robin.
So break this down for us. Are all kinds of public transit seeing this decline, all cities?
Most of them are, but certain modes of transit, as they're called, just types of vehicles are seeing it more than others. So if you look at rail, this is what they call heavy rail. That would be like a subway system, or light rail, the trains that kind of share space with cars. Mm-hmm. Those are both down 3% nationally. Bus ridership, down 2% nationally. The good news, commuter rail, so these are rail lines that connect typically suburbs with cities, if you picture Metra in Chicago or Metro North, the Long Island Railroad, New Jersey Transit in New York, those are actually up fractionally.
Yeah. Well, but the population is growing and more people are moving to cities. So what's going on? And am I thinking correctly when I think Uber, Lyft?
Yeah, that's part of it. And what's interesting is that when you look at different cities, you would think it would track population growth, wouldn't you? But a city like Atlanta that's adding population, you know, bus ridership down there, 12%. Overall ridership there, down 8%. On the other hand, a city like Pittsburgh, not a fast growth city, kind of a bright spot that this report highlighted, up 3% for bus, 2% overall. But yeah, part of it is gasoline prices. If you kind of look back historically, when gasoline gets real expensive, it gets expensive to drive, kind of pushes people onto transit. Right now, that's moderate. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Uber and Lyft, these transit systems, which are subsidized, are for the first time competing against something else that's actually, in a different way, very heavily subsidized. Uber and Lyft lost almost $3 billion last year. So, by people paying less for now than it costs to carry them, as long as the investors tolerate it there, those cheap rides also competing against transit systems.
Yeah, well, that may not last. But, you know, there are people who just, you know, have been turning up their noses at public transit for a while because in some cities they are kind of run down. But the idea was if more people got on public transit, it's going to be better for the environment. You know, more people in one vehicle going to wherever they're going. So what is the overall takeaway from this?
Exactly, Robin. You're right. I mean, picture, you know, dozens of people together on one bus or hundreds of people together on one train. You just can't compete against that in environmental terms, just in terms of how much space you take up, take all those people on a bus and put them all in cars on the city street, right? So it's an issue. And some urbanists had been optimistic that Uber and Lyft, kind of by just making it easier to live in cities, would actually end up helping transit systems, even though they kind of compete against them, because people moving back into cities should help. But for now, the simple math is that even in places where the population is growing, in almost all of them, transit ridership is down, and in some cases down significantly.
Less than a minute, actually half a minute. Seth, what should cities do?
Well, they have to avoid what you might call a death spiral, which is that because ridership is down, look, it's tough. It costs the same to run the system roughly, no matter how many people are riding it. So the temptation is raise fares, but then that just pushes more people off transit. So continued investment is what it would take.
Yep.
And just sort of reacting quickly to a world that's changing quickly with systems that weren't always designed for quick changes. Those rail lines have been there for a really long time.
Seth Kaplan, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.